So let's get this show on the road, and it's with great pleasure I welcome to the stage Mark Evans, Vice President of the Law Society. A round of applause, please.
Hi, Mark. Okay.
Ooh. Right, Mark, just to start us off then, make things easy, could you tell us a bit about your past experience in the law?
Yeah, sure. So for those of you who don't know me, I'm Mark Evans, and I started in Wrexham in 1993 and I stayed in private practice for 29 years as a property and real estate lawyer as such. And so I worked in a cross-border firm. We were international, we like to say, because we had an office in England as well as in Wales. So obviously, I did property, residential, commercial, and mostly agricultural work as well in my career. And then in 2020, I did something stupid. I decided to run a marathon, and whilst I was training, I then had a decision to change my career. So I'm now a university lecturer, so I'm not normally sitting down. I'm normally standing as such. And so I teach real estate, I teach land law, and private client and professional skills to those entering the profession now. So I teach on the SQE 1, the SQE 2, the LPC, and I do PGDL and LLB. So from sort of being in private practice, I'm now in academia, and so it's a good balance to see what's coming into the profession, but also to reflect on what I did in practice and what I saw from my own experience.
It's not on the script, but do you want to mention what you do with your running and the charity aspect?
Yeah, so it's something that will come up maybe in one of the questions later. Obviously, a big thing for me is mental health and well-being, and so one of the things that I find therapeutic is to run. So I've created a running group for the legal community called Legal Runner. We've got nearly 1,000 members now, 35 regional contacts throughout England and Wales. So they're running groups, basically doing 5K, either walking or running, but basically of just legal professionals. And it's not limited to solicitors, it's legal assistants, cashiers, receptionists, admin staff, licensed conveyancers, barristers, anyone involved in the legal community. And it's just a chance
criminals?
To meet up and run. Criminal solicitors as such. So, but it's just a means to get out and have a chat, rather, and just maybe vent a little bit, get some of that frustration out by doing it through a walk or a run.
I think I need to publicise that more in our bulletins then for you.
That's fine. That's
Are we going to have some more runners out there if I do that?
Maybe not.
No, okay. That went down well.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's get the gloves off. It's not going to be like that. But, Mark, how will the recent sudden and unexpected demise of the Trading Standards Material Information Guidance, and it was sudden, affect the Law Society's plans for the TA6 going forward, and is a two-form approach still likely?
Okay, so I won't recap as in, you know, how we got to this two-form
I think we all approach. Know that.
We know that. I think let's focus on where we are today as such. So, I mean, the Conveyancing and Land Law Committee and the Working Group have been meeting weekly to develop both the TA6 6th edition form and the material information form. And obviously, not only just weekly, but sometimes more than that as well as such. So we've been working really hard. What I can say is that the timescales that we announced previously is still in place. So the 4th edition and the 5th edition form will still be in circulation until March 2026. So the 4th and the 5th edition will still be in place. What will happen, as announced previously as well, is that the new TA6 6th edition will be launched in October. And so I'll come back to that shortly, because I've got a form that is actually now live and out there for testing, just to show that it is real and it is going to happen. With regard to material information and the announcement that's been made recently, obviously it took many people by surprise, and from my meeting with the Minister, I think the Minister as well, as to what was announced. And so what we are doing at the moment is we've paused our work on the material information form. So We haven't made a decision yet as to what is going to happen, because we are seeking from the government, obviously, guidance as to what is envisaged or how things are going to pan out. We're still working at October, basically, we could be launching the MI form, but at the moment, obviously, with it being paused, unless things happen in the near future, then we'll have to wait and see. But at the moment, we're still working on that basis, that it is a two-form approach. But what I can say is the TA6 6th edition form will be going live in October.
Right, okay. And what will happen to the 4th and 5th editions then?
So the 4th and 5th editions will still continue to be able to be used until March right. of next year, and then they will be withdrawn. And so, obviously, as we know with the 5th edition, there is a lot of material information or information that's contained on there. So those that form will still be in use until March next year. The replacement or the new MI form at the moment, as I say, is on pause.
Okay.
And I did have a meeting with the minister recently, as such, and to say, you know, what is happening. And I had an email last week from her, and to quote, basically, property agents must comply with, obviously, legislation. Legislation is there regarding material information. And to conclude, it said, we will continue to review whether further guidance is needed and are considering our next steps. So, I mean, it doesn't really give us anything to work on other than the law is there, that we're considering the guidance and we're considering our next steps.
So it's unlikely there will be more guidance.
So, you know, I can't say it's not, but from our position, there is certainly nothing that is immediately going to be coming into place.
So what can you tell us about the new TA6? You've got a nice copy there, hot off the press.
Yeah, okay. So obviously, what have we been doing for the last few months? And I would like to firstly thank each and every one of you who contributed to the consultation by getting involved. So we had, as you know, over 1,200 people who contributed to the consultation. We've gone through all those answers. And those answers basically gave us so much information that we couldn't have gleaned from conferences or, you know, individual meetings, because we were asking people for their honest and true feedback as to what was right and what was wrong with the form. And a lot of the people were saying, even with the fourth edition form, that there were things they didn't like. And in particular, there were questions that were still leading to additional inquiries. There were still things that were, the boxes weren't the right answers to tick. And so we've looked and listened to all of them, and we've adapted everyone's consultations into this new form. So this is a live document now, insofar as it's not live as into the, you know, for the general use.
So that's in its finished format.
But it's a finished format now, so I can just talk
when
you
through.
When
will that be released to people
October.
To see? Oh, right, but not
in
before.
October, maybe before then. There are some practitioners now testing it live as such, and we've gone through an independent agency to do testing, not only with professionals, but with the public as well. But this is the new TA6 form. It's meant to be in plain English. It's meant to be simple to understand and comprehend. It's 10 pages or 20, but back to back as such. So looking at it, you have your standard, you know, address details and contact details. Pages 2 and 3 are going to be instructions for the seller and the buyer and the definition clause. And importantly, in the definition and that, we're then referring to explanatory notes, which is a separate document. And it's quite detailed explanatory notes.
For the client.
For the client, for the anyone involved who's looking at the form, whether it be the seller, the buyer, or the solicitors as well. So there are explanatory notes to go with that, but it's not part of the actual form that you are filling in.
Yeah, yeah.
Because otherwise that was just adding to the duplication of the form. So looking at what is here on the form, so we start obviously as we've always done with boundaries as such in section one, but we've obviously been looking at some of those questions and how it was worded as such. So you will see maybe some subtle changes in that layout and style. Question two, obviously, is disputes as such. And again, we've been looking at the wording of that and how answers are coming through. Question three is notices as before. Question four is alterations. such question. And there's quite a bit on alterations and improvements to the property and whether it's listed or as such. Guarantees and warranties in section 5. Details about insurance on section 6. In section 7, environmental matters. Just touching very quickly, rights and informal arrangements in section 8. Section 9 is parking to the property. 10 is services. And then we move to the end now. Connection to services 11. Transaction information 12. And then we finish with completion details on 14. And additional information 14. And that's it. So when you say where we are with the form, this is a form now that is actually out there for testing. We're aiming, obviously, to launch this in October. It is similar to the fourth edition form, but not exactly as such. And there are elements of the fifth edition form which with feedback from the consultation have also fed into this as well. But obviously, there's nothing on this form that relates to material information.
Okay. So hopefully more user-friendly.
User-friendly, and also taking into account the membership who was critical of some of the answers that they were getting.
What
and
about
the
Japanese
inquiries?
Knotweed question? Is that being looked at?
It is in there, and it has been looked at as well.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. Okay. Okay. Thanks. Well, leave that behind, won't you, when you go, please? I'll send it out tomorrow.
I can show people I'm here all day. I am here all day. So yeah.
Is it still an objective of the Law Society then to encourage seller clients to instruct conveyancers earlier in the process? Perhaps even at the point of marketing, because I think that was one of the things you were wishing for.
Yeah, the simple answer I will give you is yes. It's not as simple,
no.
Obviously.
Well, I've been trying for 20 years.
Yeah.
For hips.
I mean, yeah. we want people, conveyancers, to be instructed as such, and we want, obviously, there to be work coming through our door for our members as such. And so, in our opinion, to be instructed at an early stage is important as such. It won't eliminate all the problems that maybe we're seeing with the market and how transactions are not following through or falling down or whatever is the case. There's lots of factors that feed into that. But our overriding principle is that we should be instructed. And my own personal view as well is freely instructed as well as such. To take instructions from our clients.
Right, okay. When we were chatting outside just now, you mentioned regulation of estate agents. Can you expand on that?
Yeah, so in the meeting with the minister, and obviously it was a meeting sort of face-to-face with government officials and myself and my colleagues from the Law Society, you know, we were sort of saying to her, well, you know, as conveyancers, as property lawyers, we're heavily regulated, incredibly regulated, which may lead to more questions later or whatever, but we're incredibly regulated. But we're, you know, in the property market, not everyone is regulated. And that, for me, is a worry and a concern. So we have the lawyers who are, and the conveyancers who are regulated. We have the banks and the financial institutions that are regulated. We have the surveyors that are regulated. But the estate agents, the property agents, and the management agents aren't. And so, you know, our push with the minister is, and it came overwhelmingly from the consultation, where about 77% of our members said that they should be regulated, you know. So we've been pushing that with the minister to say that there needs to be regulation at the very outset when it comes to property transactions, because that will have a domino effect on what happens all the way through.
And what's the likelihood of that?
The likelihood is, the government minister, obviously it's a strange scenario because of course the cabinet are talking about deregulation of services, but they acknowledge that in certain areas there has to be regulation, especially where there is regulation in the sector already. So I think, to be honest, we were pushing at an open door, but as the minister says, this will take law change, regulation change, and that's going to take time. So, you know, that may be a longer term sort of push. But certainly from our perspective, that would have possibly a sector leading change in the market.
I believe there's a lot of estate agents who want to be regulated as well to get the bad apples out of the business, perhaps.
Yeah, I think, I mean, obviously I can't comment on estate agents, but, you know, I know a lot of estate agents and a lot of friends of mine are estate agents, and you know, there are issues between those who are sort of chartered surveyors and those who've got no qualification at all, and the friction in the town, let's say in Wrexham, is evident. You can see that, you know, so... But also, you know, just taking my next door neighbour. I live in a remote area on a mountain in North Wales, and, you know, it's, the property next door is on the market for sale. It doesn't mention that there is a right of way running through the garden.
I thought you were going to say that the vice president lived next
door. Yeah, no. But, you know, it doesn't anywhere on those sales particular. A public right of way runs diagonally across the garden, you know, and I'm thinking, well, That's wrong. That, in my opinion, is
that probably
wrong.
Is material information.
Yeah,
in
well, you know,
form.
I mean, and unsurprisingly, four transactions have collapsed next door. You know, and what you wonder why? And you know, they've left the property and they've moved away, and she'll say, "I can't understand why we're not selling the property." Well, maybe.
So, will regulation come from ROPA? Is that still a thing? Is that still about?
I don't know where ultimately, obviously there is a review at the moment, and so all I'm going to say is we've just got to watch this space, okay. Because obviously what happened with the removal of the guidance and who's doing what and where, and obviously there were issues as to why that was withdrawn, we're just waiting for that further clarification now as the direction of travel. So I don't really want to say too much more than that.
Okay. Can we have a show of hands? How many people in here would like estate agents to be regulated? Passed.
That's
It'll
okay.
be done. It'll pass That's that back okay. to the yeah, minister, yeah, yeah. would you please?
Yeah, and that reflects the consultation.
Yeah, okay, yeah. okay. All right, thanks, Mark. So moving on then to, and we will come to Q&As a bit later, to the new climate change practice note. Now, later today, we have a panel session focusing on the implications of that note. However, many solicitors feel that climate change shouldn't fall within their remit. Why is this responsibility being placed on the conveyancers already heavily burdened shoulders?
Yeah, and I can see the argument, and I can see the reasoning behind that. And obviously, you know, I was practicing, and so I know those concerns. I think from our perspective, the guidance is issued as voluntary guidance. And I stress voluntary guidance, but it's also because, you know, again, we went out to consultation, and again, there's across opinions of views here as to what should be done, but there were solicitors out there that basically wanted guidance to say, we can't give advice on this. And so if you look at the guidance, there's some key words that doesn't appear in many of the posts that I've seen on social media or whatever, but it is if instructed by your client. So if you're not instructed by your client, you don't give a guidance. You know, right. You don't give advice on an area that you're not instructed on. So you need to be looking at what your retainer is and what area that
but
you
can
are
you flag
covering.
That up to them first, or do you just wait for them to say it themselves?
So, I mean, from our perspective is, obviously there are, if instructed by our client is the key word, but obviously from our perspective, there are, obviously, the guidance note refers to that you're not meant to be giving legal advice on areas that is beyond your expertise. Or, you know, that's general in any area of law that we're covering. But equally, we do, in a conveyancing transaction, have some sort of maybe moral responsibility or otherwise to advise clients that they need to protect themselves and look to the future. And so the signposting is basically ensuring that you've had a survey rather than evaluation, that you've taken maybe specialist advice if you need to take specialist advice, and that you are able to take or look into this further. Now, whether you can comment or on the actual results of that will depend on your capability and your expertise. And if you haven't got that expertise, you can do no more than that. One thing is apparent, though, when I was in Milan for an international conference 2 weeks ago, and climate change and climate considerations were there, and property lawyers around the world are grappling with this same issue. But in fact, in some countries, it's more pressing. Mm-hmm. So when I was sitting here with a delegation from Australia and New Zealand and some of the islands in the Pacific, I mean, their houses are evaporating under molten lava. You know,
okay.
Because the world is changing. And for them, property lawyers are heavily involved in this area as such. Now, you know, bizarrely, when I was in Milan, I got my phone out, looked on there, and it said in North Wales, it was bright, sunny spells and warm. You know, in Wales, it's never that. if you have to go out with a raincoat all the time. My mum says you never go out with a raincoat. That day in Milan, severe thunderstorms, flash flooding. I mean, it's changing, isn't it? You know, and so all I'm saying is, obviously, we're going to be covering this later in,
yeah,
in
yeah,
the session.
Yeah, yeah, more detail, yeah.
But, you know, from our point, it is a guidance note that is there, as are many guidance notes that we've been issuing on various issues regarding conveyancing.
Okay, well, when you get molten lava up your mountain, can you let us know?
Yeah, I don't think we're going to get that.
We need to worry then. So, as we just said, more and more responsibilities seem to be landing on conveyancers and conveyancing solicitors. How can we stop that trend? And what's next? What's coming down the line next?
Yeah, I mean, you know, let's face it. It is relentless. As such, the rules, the regulations, what you have to do, as such. And I also feel that, you know, being a residential property lawyer, you feel undervalued by your colleagues within your firm, undervalued with some of the profession, and certainly sometimes undervalued or lack of respect from those outside in what we do and the important job that we're doing. That said, we are handling significant amounts of money, mm-hmm. and we're dealing with transactions that have to be obviously accounted for. And, you know, sadly, there are cases that hit the press, small minutiae in the overall scheme of events. So, you know, I can understand people's frustration when it comes to AML. I can understand people's frustration with regard to, you know, everything else. But we are changing, you know, and I remember in 1993 when I started, you know, my secretary and my team had a manual typewriter. As such, you know, we didn't have the internet, no mobile phone and everything. And if we were identifying the client, if Barbara, the secretary, knew him, that was fine. Mm. You know, Barbara knows who he is. That was our identification process. You know, known to the firm, tick the box. Barbara or John or whoever knew them. So obviously, you know, and again, it's something we've raised with the minister about regulation, you know, that there's got to be a level playing field here as well. You know, that if you're regulating in a sector, then everyone should be regulated to the same standard or same ability, and clearly everyone isn't, you know, so there are things that need to be looked at.
Okay, good. So what about the profession itself, and maybe it's not a mass exodus, but people are leaving at the top end. We don't seem to be getting young blood coming at the bottom end. What can be done to make job more interesting, exciting, and people want to take up a career as a conveyancer?
Again, not an easy answer, but that's what I do now for the last 3 or 4 years. I'm trying to encourage all my students who are entering the profession to be property lawyers. And that's a hard job, because when I ask and show of hands in Liverpool or Manchester or Chester University now, how many of you want to be a litigation lawyer, dispute resolution? How many want to be immigration? How many want to be crime? How many want to be a corporate lawyer? How many want to be a family lawyer? How many want to be in... It's not just conveyancing, sadly, it's also wills and probate as such, which hardly any hands go up.
Right.
So that leads me then to say, well, why not? What is there? Because I use the line continuously, we're all going to buy, rent or sell a property in our lifetime as such, so it's active, it's live, it's real. And I say, we're all going to die.
We are, yeah.
You know, and we're living longer, and succession planning is important. So if you want a job that's face-to-face and engaging with your clients, no better job in the world. And you've got to be positive about that and sell it. And so for me, you know, I wouldn't have changed anything that I've done in, you know, and the people I've met and the transactions I've been involved with. But you then have to think that we also have to look at what we're doing as such. And it's true. You know, with the TA6 form is a good example of how much was out on social media, you know, that is negative as such. And, you know, I would encourage us all in my sort of year moving ahead to change our narrative, not to change the message, because the message I still want you to convey and get that over, but just look at the way that you convey it and the style of the language that you use, rather than being confrontational or aggressive or, you know, completely negative all the time. Let's have some respect as such. And one of my, you know, colleagues said to me that, you know, dispute lawyers or litigators argue all the time. They do it in private or in court. You guys, it's all on social media. Mm. And the students see that. And the students see that. They see that. They're the aspiring solicitors. They say, all you do is moan. literally.
I know
into
a
my
good
face.
Private forum where they could have those debates,
well,
actually.
I mean, all I will say is, you know, this is a fantastic profession. It's a fantastic area of law to be in. And those who get into it, and, you know, and my thing is, forget, I'm teaching them land law. I said, that's not what it's like in practice. You know, so when we start real estate, then it starts to come real. But the big issue for me is, I know what I'm teaching, and there's a huge gap in what I'm teaching and what you guys need in practice. You know, with the present qualifications and that, there's a education and training, and the gap in that, you know, leads to these questions that when I was in practice, I could never understand why this person was messaging me to say, you need to register the title. I said, well, I don't need to register the title. I've given you an epitome of title. And they'd say, no, you need to register the title. And we'd be batting this email back and to. And then I'd phone them up and say, why do I need to register this title? It's a perfectly legitimate, you know, epitome of title here. I don't know anything about unregistered land.
Okay.
Don't do it. That was the answer I got.
So another question to the audience then. Knowing what you know now, how many of you would still be conveyancers if you could wind the clock back?
Okay.
Okay, about 10 people out of, 100? All right, I think something needs to be done then to change that, doesn't it, really? And finally from me, before we get to Q&A, so you take up your presidency in October, which ties in nicely with the TA6, which is great,
it does,
I think. What are your plans for your year as president?
Yeah. So obviously, as an office holder, it's a three-year post. So you do deputy, vice, and then president. As deputy and as vice, I still work full-time at the university. So at the moment, I feel as if I'm doing two full-time jobs. So I'm teaching in Liverpool tomorrow. And so, and then I could be, you know, in Cardiff on Saturday or whatever. So moving into my presidency, every president, obviously, we follow the corporate strategy of the Law Society. So we in this October, we're launching a new strategy for 25 to 28. One of those big things is about getting involved. Getting more members involved in our work, not just on committees or council, but, you know, like we did with this consultation. So there'll be more involvement for 1,200 people to get involved and access it and feed into us. And so we think from our volunteers of around 1,000, we're going to get to about 15,000, maybe in year one, where we've expressed an interest to get involved, but maybe when they're at night or at the weekend and they can fill in a questionnaire or take part in something. So that's a big thing I'm going to be launching in October. But for me personally, what are my three aims? I view leadership as allowing others to shine, okay, or giving an opportunity to others. I don't view it for me. So everything I'm seeking to try and do is what you can do, not me. So my aims, for example, in mental health and well-being will be, well, let's have that conversation in the firms. What can you change? What can you do? Come for a run with me. Come for a walk with me. Arrange to go for a walk with your colleagues or with your people on your town and meet up for a walk, you know, in a park. So you do something. You get out there and focus on what you can do. Don't just say, what can we do? Let's embrace it as a group. So mental health and well-being is one. I touched upon education and training. I think there's got to be changes with SQE. I think there's got to be a review of where we are and what we're doing. Obviously, we've got new routes into the profession now with apprenticeships and all the other things that we need to consider. But we've got to be getting, my view, those who are in the profession, proper, better education and training as such, because that's causing a lot of the problems as well. So, but also, for me, linked into me and my background with social mobility, is I'm encouraging each and every one of you to go back to school. I'll be going to you. You know, I'm heavily involved with my local primary school and secondary school. I'm still Father Christmas every year, maybe not this year, in the grotto as such. But getting into primary schools and secondary schools just for a day or a morning to say what it's like to be a lawyer, and to show those people in your community that they can be you. That never happened for me and my background. You know, I never thought I could be a lawyer. So I'm encouraging, we've got 200,000 solicitors, you know, so we've got the breadth of England and Wales to get out there. So social mobility, education and training, mental health and well-being are my three big points.
Excellent, okay. And while you're here, can we invite you back next year for our conference? I'll let you know when the date is as soon as possible.
Subject to date, I'm sure, yes.
All right, thank you.
Yeah,
thank you. When you're president, of course.
Yeah.
So any questions for Mark from you guys and girls? Microphone to Beth, please. It's coming your way, Beth. Is this the question you asked me to ask Mark, which I haven't asked?
Well, there is one, actually, that I did ask. So, firstly, on the material information guidance, the Home Buying and Selling Council are looking to write the guidance and refresh it using the National Trading Standards previous steering group, who spent 3 years writing the guidance. So there is stuff coming down the track, just to reassure everybody. And you came to our conference, and thanks, Mark, for talking about it there. The question for you, actually, is about renters' rights. That's obviously also coming down the track, and that will impact the people in this room. Is there any plan from the Law Society?
Can you just repeat about, sorry, the...
What renters' rights.
Registered rights?
No, renters' rights.
Oh, renters' rights, yeah.
So that's going to have an impact on buy-to-let and on remortgaging. So will there be guidance coming out from the Law Society on that?
Yeah, so a few weeks ago, I was invited to the Renters' Rights sort of forum or conference at Westminster as such, and to talk to the audience there about what the Law Society's view was on renters' rights. Obviously, renters' rights relates to England as such, and obviously we have separate legislation in Wales. I mean, that's a separate thing, obviously. I know. And that is a good example, really, that, you know, we have 90 different laws in Wales now compared to England. And many of them relate to property as well, and property transactions, and renters' rights is obviously one in England only. Our concerns that are being raised is that, you know, and it seems to be a consensus of things, that in principle what was being suggested is good, and the amendments that are being made. But obviously, there is how is it actually going to be policed? How is it going to be dealt with? And can the courts or any of the cope with the demands that are there? And we have serious, you know, knowing what is happening in the court system at the moment in any event, and the delays and the backlogs and all the issues of closing courts as well, that we're not concerned that the idea will actually, in reality, be able to be managed. And that was transitioned against a lot of the letting agents, the estate agents, and other things. So, obviously, what I can do is I can circulate to you some of the information that I've got, you know, afterwards, as such. But I think, you know, the ministers and it's going through the House of Commons and the House of Lords, and it was the two House of Lords ministers who chaired the session, and obviously there were still things that were being tweaked and changed. And so, you know, from our perspective, we're keeping it under review and looking at it, and if there's any changes, I can let you know.
Okay, thank you. David?
David Bridge, Kiteley Solicitors. I know there are some dividing lines between the SRA and the Law Society. But it seems to me that the SRA are becoming unmanageable, that they are increasing our regulation for no good reason. And particularly on money laundering, their justification for fining people for things that happened 10 years ago is to encourage les autres, isn't it? It's to encourage the others. That's not an incentive to get it right. It just makes everyone live in fear. What can we expect from the Law Society during your presidency to try and confront them and rein them back in again, given that, in theory, they are part of us?
Okay, so obviously it's a difficult question, but a genuine and a question that I get asked a lot. I would hope that if you look at the statements that the President now, Richard Atkinson, has made recently about, you know, whether it be Axe Mints or any of the other issues, that we've been quite firm in our criticism as such as to what is happening. And obviously, as you mentioned, there is a balance because of the rules and regulations as to what we can and can't say. But what I am keen to stress is that, you know, we must keep expressing our opinions, and we must, you know, if there were consultations out there, we need to ensure that our members are listened to and are respected. And one of the things that I'm involved with at the moment, I chair a group of council members looking into solicitors being protected under the Solicitors Disciplinary Tribunal about the quality of arms and with the SRA as such. And as part of that role, I've looked back at all our replies from the Law Society and local law societies and other bodies basically to SRA consultations. And there is a constant theme that comes out from those replies to consultations where we have concerns or we have severe concerns or issues. We've got to keep on obviously expressing that. We've got to do that. And obviously many of you will have taken part, and it's on the agenda for today for client account consultations. So, you know, we're a membership body, and obviously if people are replying to consultations and giving us their opinion, I will make sure that that voice is heard as such. Clearly there are changes afoot with the SRA. Obviously we've been informed that Paul Phillip is retiring later this year. And obviously there will be a new chair with the Legal Services Board. What we're keen to do is obviously engage in narrative with all involved in that sector to see, you know, if we can not necessarily push a reset button, but basically now start to look positively to the future and reflect the views of our membership.
That's perfect timing, Mark, because I've been watching the countdown clock. It's at zero. I was expecting an explosion. Thankfully, that hasn't happened.
Okay.
So thanks for your time. You will be here all day.
Yeah.
You might come back later to do a quick summary with me before the soiree.
Yeah, and okay. As I say, you know, I am here all day. I'm looking forward to listening to all the panelists and the discussions and making some notes. And, you know, feel free to ask me any questions during the break if you can find me. It's quite easy with a red tie, but there you go.
Big hand for Mark, please. Thank you.